for 15 minutes, or you got more than that? Linda's coming. Linda Ray Murray's coming late.
What?
Thank you.
there for the
Hi folks, we have a jam-packed session. Thank you for coming to the Peel and Parson sessions on healthcare reform, health access in the election, what happened, what didn't, what next. We don't know all the answers to those questions exactly today, but we're looking forward to hearing some very knowledgeable speakers. I think this is about the 11th presentation on this topic at APHA. How many of you have already been to a healthcare reform session here this year? Well, great. Well, thank you for coming to this one as well. And it's certainly timely, and we appreciate everybody being with us. I'm Ellen Schaefer. I'm a member of the Medical Care Section. This is the Peel and Parson session, which is jointly sponsored by Medical Care Socialist Caucus, the Women's Caucus, and the Spirit of 1848. Peel and Parsons was a socially and politically active health services researcher who was a member of all of our sections and caucuses. Her untimely death inspired us to create this ongoing series. Her motto was, along with Emma Goldman, "If I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution." Her spirit inspires us to take on timely cross-cutting issues. And again, we thank everybody for being with us. I'm actually going to make a, hopefully, oh, and you have brochures for Medical Care Section, which we hope you'll take a look at, and if you're not already a member of a section or would like to join us or like to join us as a secondary section, please fill it out, either give it back to me, mail it in, do something relevant with it. Thanks. So I'm going to give a short presentation just to introduce the subject, and then we will get on with our speakers, one of whom is yet to join us. We're talking about healthcare reform. The 800-pound gorilla in the room as we get together is the fact that our financial system has collapsed. Our Republican president has become a socialist when it comes to the financial system, but it looks like it's not working so great. But nevertheless, there is the call in the U.S. and other countries for a new approach to capitalism, and we can have a different discussion about the role of the state in the healthcare system. I'm from California. State Senator Sheila Kuehl passed a single-payer bill, and I assume most of you know what it is, and if you don't, you're going to hear a lot more about it in this session, twice through our legislature. Incremental insurance reforms have been enacted, and we're talking about all this in California and in many of your states in the context of severe budget cuts and financial shortfalls. We saw an opportunity, my organization, the Center for Policy Analysis, with our colleagues at the California Public Health Association North, the Northern California affiliate of APHA, and the Center of Excellence in Women's Health at the University of California, San Francisco, and an organization called Women Lead for Health, to clarify what some of the presidential proposals are that have called attention to this issue and really been demanded by the financial and times that we're in and the crisis in the healthcare system. We thought we were in a unique position to look at the proposals and to think about the role of public health and how and why public health is being discussed in the context of these debates. So I'm going to talk real briefly about this event that we had. That's the link to the podcast, which I will show you again. We wanted to generate and disseminate an analysis of the presidential proposals, again, develop our perspectives from public health, and create an ongoing network among those of us who came, those of us who talked, those of us who are looking at the podcast to figure out how we're going to interact with each other to really mobilize for healthcare reform right now and after the election. We went through our criteria. We looked at the Center for Policy Analysis had looked at the criteria developed by APHA and by our partners in this enterprise and by a group called Raising Women's Voices, which some of you probably know about, another group called Rekindling Reform in New York, which is looking closely at these issues and the effect of rollbacks in Medicare. And we created this list of criteria that by which we would measure the different policy proposals: universal coverage, comprehensive benefits, affordability, quality, which had different aspects, accessibility, appropriateness, and equitability, a strong public health system, and also feasibility. And this is a controversial issue among many of us who know that we would like to see the insurance industry go away, but we haven't seen that happen yet, and we haven't figured out how to get there. So we talked about feasibility based not just in whether or not we could make that happen, but whether there was some basis in the present system for the proposals and if they could be enacted. The Obama plan we looked at as having some advantages in at least intending to expand access at the same time as controlling costs. Again, for those of you who haven't been to the 15 other sessions, what it does is really maintain the employer-based system of healthcare for those who have it and want to keep it. It creates two new public entities, a National Health Insurance Exchange, to help people who don't have insurance or want to change their insurance or are small employers to find some kind of coverage, and also something similar to the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, which is that kind of umbrella. And it also creates a new public plan similar to Medicare that would actually cover people who want to be in a public plan as opposed to a private plan. Similar to McCain's proposal, Obama does talk about relying on a number of aspects of public health, from clinical prevention to improving the public health infrastructure to really looking at the social determinants of health as part of what he wants to accomplish. In part, again, this is because he projects that this will be a source of cost savings, and to some extent there's thought that that will be true, and to some extent there's an idea that this could take a while, but it's important that the discussion is in front of us. Key questions about that proposal is whether it really is a transitional plan, as some proponents say, to a more universal public-based system, or really an incremental proposal that can't get off the ground, that won't work, whether it's possible to control costs without global budgets, can we control costs if we still have a private insurance industry, and if we can recruit sufficient people into the public plan to avoid adverse selection. The McCain policy, real quickly, because it takes a completely different approach, is really relying on market-based competition, shifting the burden to individuals to select their own private insurance plan under the idea that this will somehow drive costs down, which flies in the face of most of the experience that we have had with market-driven healthcare in the U.S. But that's the idea, that employees for the first time would be taxed on the health benefits that they get from their employer, and that this would somehow, to some extent, be offset by tax credits, which would go to the insurance industry, not to you, and which at this point are priced at a far lower cost than what insurance plans charge. Again, in the name of deregulation, would allow insurance companies to compete across state lines. States, of course, are the locus of where a lot of mandates are that protect benefits. That would this deregulation, for the sake pretty much of ideological reasons, would further exclude people with pre-existing conditions from the ability to get care. Again, he does talk about public health and preventive clinical services as a way to save money. We know that right after the election, the shift is going to be to other issues than health care reform in the face of our financial situation, but also to Congress, which is, as we speak, sitting down across committee lines and thinking about how they want to play a role in health care reform. And we know that some are working on a consensus plan. There's also H.R. 676, Mr. Conyers' Medicare for All bill, which is being rewritten, and we may hear some more about that. Again, this is just recapping that the forces at work are the financial crisis, that we have an opportunity from public health to intervene in the discussion, and we need to keep an eye on how to mobilize our forces and who else is supporting these different plans. From our perspective as public health, we need to maintain a focus on the issues that have been raised in our sphere and keep alive the discussion of the importance of a single-payer plan, in my opinion. This is where the podcast and the documents are online for the forum that we held in San Francisco, and hope that you will take a look at those. The next, we have four additional excellent presenters here today who are going to talk to you both about the importance of single payer, a voice from the campaign, from the presidential campaign's discussion about public health and discussion about what to look forward to next. Our fourth additional speaker will be joining us shortly. The next person I would like to introduce to you is the longtime activist, past president of Physicians for a National Health Program, and also dedicated APHA member, Claudia Fegan.
Thank you. And